You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast from the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, we have a special interview between former ESA science policy analyst Piper Corp and Alexis Irwin, one of this year's three Graduate Policy Student Award winners. Alexis, a doctoral candidate at Cornell University, became increasingly interested in science policy after taking a graduate course at the university. Research conducted during that course eventually made its way to the New York Department of Environmental Conservation and was used in the development of indicators for monitoring the health of a key lake in the state of New York. Through experiences at Cornell, Alexis gained a unique appreciation for how important federal science and technological research investment is for our society. Her doctoral research is supported in part by a National Science Foundation Graduate Research Fellowship and focuses on plant reproductive strategy.
So NSF has been placing a lot of emphasis on the connection between the projects they fund and society. So I think when you write a proposal, you're supposed to say, right, the broader implications, so to speak. So how do you see your work filling this role?
Well, my research is definitely basic research, but I think it has some really interesting and important implications for agriculture and for local farmers in particular, because by studying plant-insect interactions below ground, we can understand who's attacking the roots and what the consequences would be for the whole plant physiology and also for yield. And so if I can say what the levels are of these insects in the field, that might inform economic thresholds and also might guide the farmers to know how their yield might be compromised or might be enhanced that year or in the future. So connecting to agriculture is really important. And I think there's also sort of an intrinsic interest because we are interested in biodiversity and variability in ecological interactions. And the soil is probably one of the last explored frontiers of plant-insect interactions. We're building on so much great foundational work in the above-ground realm, but more and more people are turning their focus to the soil and really exploring the same kind of interactions, but in a different sphere, if you will.
So you actually work with the hay and vegetable farmers of Central New York, is that right?
I have had some interaction with local hay and actually Christmas tree farmers, because they are interested in wireworm populations in their fields in particular. And wireworms can consume plant roots, which can have really important implications for transport and water uptake. And of course, we know that'll impact the above ground primary production. So I've gone into some fields and done bait traps so that I can tell the farmers, you know, the approximate levels of wireworms in their fields. And it's also great for my basic research. We both learn something, and then I actually get material for my experiments, and they're happy to see those wireworms be taken away and back to the lab.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's a twofer, right? And then speaking of the outreach efforts, you also do something called Science on the Street. What is that?
So that's a great program that is funded by Sigma Xi and takes members of the graduate community in Cornell and sort of brings them down to the common space in downtown Ithaca, New York. And we have a chance to set up posters or set up demonstrations in that common area where a lot of people are just passing by or going shopping or so forth. And it's like a poster session at a scientific conference in the sense that, you know, anybody can walk by, and if they're interested, they stop and talk to you. But it really expands our reach or our ability to communicate that work because we are talking to the public and not only our scientific colleagues. So this past semester, we did one Science on the Street activity with experiments that are sort of common, like the Mentos in the soda bottle experiment. And that's always a great attention grabber. And then we also had some more things that people might not be so familiar with, but were also really interesting. And I found the public to be very interested. It was a great opportunity for us and for them, I think.
So there, do you find that people stop who normally wouldn't stop at these kind of things? Like, is it sort of the science-minded person anyway? Or are there ways that you can attract people that you think would otherwise just pass by?
I think both. There's definitely a self-selecting group that sees Cornell or sees science grad students and perks up. But because it's in a public place and we try and have beautiful pictures and hands-on activities, you'll get more children and you'll get some people who are just sort of generally curious and who might not engage with science on the day-to-day basis. And I find those interactions really satisfying, to see the person's eyes light up if they've never held a coral before, or if they've never seen the structure of a molecule, or they haven't since high school maybe. So that's really fun.
So when you came to town, you were here for the annual Congressional Visits Day that ESA co-sponsors, and you went up to meet with your congressional delegation. So there, when it was sort of, I mean, you can't, I guess you could bring coral into the meetings, but, you know, it's more of a conversational thing. How do you get people to buy into what you're saying there?
Well, there, our job was really to talk about the impact of the NSF-sponsored programs on our life or our research. So for me, I had a lot of sort of personal anecdotes that I think the members and the staffers can really latch on to. For example, part of my research and my time at Cornell is funded by an IGERT, an Integrative Grad Education Research Traineeship in Biogeochemistry and Environmental Biocomplexity. One example I brought up was a new program that we're starting through this IGERT that takes science grad students from a lot of different disciplines and pairs them up with undergrads who are interested in science but not sure whether they want to pursue graduate school or go into government or go into nonprofit work. And that's a new program called Environmentors. And because it's interdisciplinary, because it's integrative of different ages and different viewpoints and includes a lot of minority ideas and minority backgrounds, that program was a great example also.
What is a minority idea? I haven't heard that term before.
Well, I think in ecology, we have certain ideas which have become ingrained or dogma perhaps, and there's probably great reasons to believe that they're true or that they're general, but it's always great opportunity to hear the counter to that and to hear the devil's advocate position or a minority position that might go against that. And so I think by bringing people from different disciplines, we don't have the same set of ingrained ideas. I guess one lesson I took from the experience was just that the congressmen and their staffers are really interested in hearing from researchers themselves, so that we can sort of jump over the risk of interacting with the media, because you see Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity twist words perhaps or give scientists a hard time. And it was really amazing to talk to the people who are making those funding decisions as opposed to talking to the media, who might then give out our message. So I really enjoyed sort of going to the decision makers themselves to talk about the value of the research. And I was pleasantly surprised by how welcoming and how interested they were.
That was Alexis Irwin from Cornell University. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us again next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.